to turn, there we go, got it to turn on. I fight with it. Anyway, I want us to, we'll get going hopefully as close on time as possible. I started going through my notes and realized that I only am going to cover about half of what I wanted to cover this morning. And John and Brooke were laughing at me last night when I said that because they're like, that's just normal. Hopefully we can get through this today. Anyway, we are going to study the topic of heaven. And we're going to go through it. We'll spend the next couple of months on the topic and hopefully answer some questions about it. Ron's class last week was perfect. Introduction to where we're at as he shared with us salvation. And we're not this week we're not going to get into the gospel that much. Hopefully here in a couple of weeks we will spend some time on the gospel and look at that. So I want to talk about the reality of heaven and spend some time there and have some fun with it. It's another one of those ones where hopefully we'll be able to spend some time thinking. I like a lot of discussion in our classes, and any controversy that Ron can drum up should be good. So let's start with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to have you guys spend some time giving me some ideas of what you believe heaven is going to be like. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us in your word an idea of what heaven will be like and what heaven is like now. And it's exciting. And as we look at some misconceptions about heaven today and what the world, what Satan would desire for us to think about heaven, hopefully we can dispel that today through looking at your word and as we study this this topic. Just guide and direct in our thoughts and our discussion time today, and challenge our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, to get started, the first question I want to ask you is, what do you know about heaven? Or what do you think you know about heaven? Just shout out little one word or little short little phrases of no tears. What you believe heaven is like.
Awesome.
No tears.
No sadness.
No pain.
Yeah. Am I spelling these right? No pain. No sadness. That's not really it.
No sin.
No sin.
No stress.
No temptation.
No temptation. Put that in the sin category.
Joy.
What's that?
Joy.
Joy. Yes. There is joy.
Being in the presence of God.
Presence of God.
Want to see Jesus face to face?
Yes. Am I spelling it right?
Didn't I see somewhere that the streets are paved with gold, which I really don't see the purpose of it? It's easy to hose down. The
streets are paved with gold.
Gold streets?
This feels like one of those commercials that has all the negative side effects.
Taking the presence of God and just adding to that an intimate relationship with Him forever.
And we'll be with our loved ones that will be even later.
Friends and
your bodies. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, great.
I'm going
to put this.
No aches and pains.
I clarify the friends and family, believing friends and family.
Yes,
new bodies.
We will not become angels.
We will not become angels.
No harps.
No harps. I think there'll be harps.
I think there'll be music.
Well, we know the 24 elders have harps, but that yeah. doesn't mean we do.
That doesn't mean we do.
How about some of the things we enjoy here on Earth? Will they be there? Or?
Yep. That's my next question. So I'm going to, right after we're done describing it, I'm going to have you just questions that you might have about. So that's, will we get to enjoy the same things in heaven that we do here? And I'm not going to answer your questions today, just so you know. You can ask them. I am not going to answer them. Hopefully we will answer your questions throughout the next couple of months and that. So any other thoughts? You know, we could describe it, the crystal sea. Praising God, intimate. Yeah.
Light.
Light.
No night.
No night. So we were talking about this morning. Can you imagine no shadows? That's one of those deep thoughts. Deep theological discussion. Will there be shadows in heaven?
And we'll know where heaven is.
We'll know where heaven is.
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, once we're there, I'm
we'll
sure.
We'll be there.
We'll be there.
I don't know how we got there. I mean,
so anyway, it's there's lots of ideas about, you know, what heaven is and the description of it, what it'll be like. What questions do you have? I'm not going to write all these down, but what questions do you have that you might hope to get some answers in the next couple of months?
Yeah, like the people that just dearly love kids and love to be around kids and watch them and take care of them. Will there be kids there that they can interact with? Or people that like them? Or people like dogs?
Do all dogs go to heaven?
Yeah.
Only good dogs.
What will we do? Will we be singers?
We'll sing good there.
Yeah, will we all sing on tune?
She did actually mention something that's kind of interesting as far as kids. I mean, will there be actual age differences?
Yeah. Your new body, what will it? What age will it be?
Will we all be the same age, or will we?
It's a good question, because if we're the same age of when we die, will we have infants?
Yes, I had an aunt. She just, when she saw kids, she just lit up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go back to like your prime, like 20 years old, or 30 years old, or
I'm not in my prime anymore.
Will there still be children there that she can enjoy?
Yeah. Barb?
Will we see what's going on down here?
Will we be able to see what's going on down here?
And
that's a question we're gonna hopefully at the end of the class today look at a timeline and look about heaven. And during the class I'm gonna refer to the present heaven as our either the present heaven or the intermediate heaven, and possibly the difference between heaven now and heaven after the Great White Throne Judgment. Anyway, we'll get into those.
I hope that something I've always had trouble with is differentiating between the millennial kingdom and eternal heaven. And I know that there's a dramatic difference, and I would expect that our... So anyway, I'm looking forward to your making that clear.
And that's... some of the questions that as we go through this, we'll look at, we'll use the millennial kingdom as hopefully some description of Eden, and is heaven going to kind of look like, or is the new earth, because we'll talk about the new earth as well as we get into the new heaven and new earth, and will that be like the millennial kingdom, or even better yet, like the Garden of Eden? And so, yeah, we'll touch on some of those as well.
And what kind of work would you do in heaven?
It's a good question. What is there going to be to do?
We'll never be omniscient like God, but we'll have an eternity with God.
Yeah. Well, and that's actually one of the very questions we already talked. We visited a little bit before Sunday school started, and will we learn? Because Pastor Craig was mentioned, he has some questions for Abraham and Paul, and I'm sure the other saints as well. But you know, will we gain more knowledge once we're in heaven? And you're right, we'll never be like God. We'll never have that omniscience. We'll never know everything. So at what point in eternity will we stop learning, or will we stop learning? And I'm going to throw this disclaimer out right now, and that is, through this, as you ask questions, there are going to be a lot of questions where my answer is going to be, I don't know. And we may not know. Hopefully we can dig and try and find a reasonable answer. But there will be a lot of questions that will end with, we just don't know. And that will be part of the excitement of learning one day, of, you know, once we enter into eternity, and knowing what heaven is and learning about it. So do you have another thought, Tom?
It's just that, well, I know we're going to rule and reign with Christ. That in itself is just overwhelming to even think about. But as I look at heaven and God's glory and his desire for me to be overwhelmed by his glory even right now, I have a hard time picturing sitting down doing 20 questions with him or anything. I mean, it's going to be a time of worship and adoration and praise. But there's God with ruling and reigning, there's some practical aspect to it.
I've been using a couple of books. The main book that I'm going through is Randy Alcorn's book on heaven, and that's kind of the main study tool that I'm using. But I have Pentecost and some other books that I'm using as well to put all of this together. I don't believe much as Randy might claim to be an authority on the topic of heaven. I don't know that all of what he has to say is true or is accurate. I think he's doing his best to fill in the blanks as he writes his book. And so there's not everything that I agree with. And so as we go through other books to piece this all together, we have lots of questions. And I think as I began to study, I have more questions. And I keep getting more and more questions and a better understanding of where we're at. So,
if we're going to rule and reign with Christ, we're going to have to know some of the answers to our questions that we down here wonder about.
And the one question with that we'll address is, is there forms of government in heaven? Or is the ruling and reigning just in the millennial kingdom with Christ outside of heaven, but back on earth in the millennial kingdom, where it talks about we will reign with Christ? And so how does that all tie together? And is there forms of government in heaven, you know, levels of authority? We'll get into it.
As it relates to our inadequate knowledge today, it could be, too, that when we are translated into God's presence, we will have that new birth that came into us that transformed us in this life, the dramatic infusion of God into us and us being like him. What will we ask questions about? I mean, we are going to be like him.
That's going to be wonderful.
Amen.
One of the questions about the new body that I have and that I'm really, really hoping for is, can we pass through space and time, and is there time in heaven? But can we just pass through, as we've seen Christ on earth with his new body, he was able to just appear.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. So, anyway, it'll be interesting. We'll get into a lot of those, and I hope that we will be able to address those questions. But how many of us cannot wait to get to heaven? You know, it's exciting. It's an exciting thought that one day we will spend, as believers, eternity in the greatest place that we can't even really imagine. But yet through this class, I want you to put your imagination to the best that you can imagine. How much time do we spend thinking about heaven? How much effort do we ponder on a day-to-day basis about going to the greatest place that is beyond your imagination? In about a month, actually it's less than a month now, Christy and I are taking the kids up to see my family in Canada. And I think about that trip, well, probably once or twice a day. I ponder it, I think about it, I talk about it, I get on Google Maps and plot out the course that we're going to follow and the days and if we, you know, what day we're going to get there. And we've got windows of opportunity to maybe not drive so much. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited to go home and spend some time with my family. And I think about it at least a couple of times a day. I know on this trip in a car, there's going to be at least 6 days of travel to get all the way up to Canada, all the way across Canada to the coast, and all the way back down the coast, visit Christie's folks for a day, and then back to Mesquite. I'm pretty sure there's going to be at least 6 days where it's going to be 8 to 10 hours in a car with 3 kids, 6 and under. If you pay for half of those tickets, I will jump in that plane in a heartbeat. There are going to be at one point. It's a long weekend in Canada, and that weekend, Dad is trying to organize a pretty big family reunion. So there's going to be 50 or 60 Neufelds all in one place at one time. So I can imagine, if I know anything about family get-togethers, there'll be some drama. As much as I am excited about this trip, I would be naive to believe that it's going to be a cakewalk, that there'll be no struggles along the way, there'll be no frustration. And here I am thinking about a trip that I'm going to take that is going to be effort. Christy looks at me like, yeah. What are we thinking? There's going to be drama. There's going to be frustration. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be things that pop up along the way that are really going to aggravate us. And here I spend several times a day pondering about an imperfect trip and an imperfect place with imperfect people. Do I spend that much time thinking about heaven? Do I put the same kind of effort? I can't get on Google Maps and plot out my trek to heaven. But do I spend that much time? And if I'm not as excited to go to heaven as I am to go to Canada, now, it's really, really close, but will I be that excited then to share this with other people? And ultimately, I think through this whole study, I hope that when we get to the end of it, or even partway through it, your excitement about heaven will be greater than it is now, and so great that it will continue to drive you or start to drive you to share this with other people, people that you know are not going to be there. We will spend a class or two looking at the reality of hell. We cannot look at heaven and not look at the other side of it. We're going to spend, and actually it'll probably be next week or the following week, we will look at the reality of hell. There is a hell. It is real. And we will spend some time looking at that. And I want us at the end of this to be excited to share heaven with other people and that they can spend eternity there as well. Bobby, on the computer there's a folder, Sunday School. Let's look at some reasons why we possibly do not spend enough time thinking about heaven. And the first one is kind of it's an unbiblical view of heaven. And I think we have an unbiblical view of heaven. One more, there you go. There you go. I've got a couple of cartoons, one more. Over, left, down, there you go. Just a couple of cartoons. I don't understand why his halo is sideways, but our view of heaven is a lot of times this very thing is we're going to be angels. Who said that we are not going to be angels in heaven? I might have been Bob there, but we have this view, and you'll see almost in all of the cartoons. I have a couple of more. Pop up the next one.
I can guarantee you one thing, though. The older you get, the more you think
about
heaven.
One more there.
That's true.
We have this idea that heaven is us with wings and a halo and a nice white gown playing a harp, and it's boring. The world portrays heaven as very boring. Throw up the next one. The Far Side, one more. Oh, there you go. You know, welcome to heaven, here's your harp. Welcome to hell, here's your accordion. But not only is our view of heaven distorted, our view of hell is very distorted. And it's constant that people talk about hell as a place where it's, you know, yeah, it's not a great place. I'm going to be there with my buddies, though. And it's going to be kind of just one big miserable party. And there's nothing about hell that really is that scary in our world today in the distorted view of hell. And so we'll spend some time looking at that as well to hopefully clarify that hell is not as the world portrays it today.
I think there's a lot of people that actually feel that they're living that right now on Earth. And so they feel like this is just going to be, you know, we're already here, so how much worse can it get?
And if God is a loving God, He wouldn't send anybody to hell. And that's as far as they go. Well, God is loving. They don't go far enough to say God is just. And in that love, true love is just. Anyway, we'll talk about that. And then I have one more here for you. This one's just fun. Other side. Oh, go back one. We usually admit people that dedicate their lives to others, but I'm afraid that in your case, billions and billions served isn't quite what we had in mind. It's Ronald McDonald. Anyway, those are... When I Googled images or cartoons of heaven, there's hundreds of them. And Noah and I were sitting there this morning just looking over some of them. And there's hundreds and hundreds of these cartoons. And I don't think I've seen one that was theologically correct. It's the standing at the pearly gates, St. Peter, somebody there's, you know, looking it over. And either it's wrong because they make us out to be angels with wings and harps and halos sitting on a cloud playing your harp, kind of boring, or you're standing at the pearly gates and they're looking over your to-do list or your good works list, your resume, and you get into heaven based on whether you were good or not. Like the last one there, billions served. It's wrong. So we'll look at that. Getting into heaven has nothing to do with your works. Mark Twain portrayed heaven as a place where people sit around all day playing harps and sing forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, the guy that was sitting there, I wish I would have brought a magazine. Mark Twain and his Huck Finn. As Huck Finn is visiting with a Sunday school teacher, that's how she described heaven to him, is sitting on, you have your harp, and you're going to sing forever. And I believe that there will be singing in heaven. There will be great worship and singing in heaven, but it will not be boring. And it is portrayed today as boring. Today, heaven is portrayed as a place where our spirit hangs out. We're disembodied, our spirit just hangs out and plays a harp all day long. Another reason why...
I was just going to say, part of our problem in our world today is contentment.
Mm-hmm.
And people get bored, and people have so many more things to do today than they did 100 years ago, and we're still not satisfied. And we get bored in 10 minutes.
We want to be entertained.
I mean, Christmas morning with little kids and toys. That's a perfect example.
Yeah.
I mean, you put too much out there, and they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, I'm done with that. And I think, as a whole, our whole society's that way. We're just never satisfied.
But you would think, in our desire for the next best thing, and I am the worst, ask Christy, when it comes to the next best gadget. I am sure in a few days I will start to be plotting my next gadget. I'm already plotting my next gadget. John's just looking at me. You're already plotting. You would think that in our society of the next best thing, the next greatest thing, if we had a right understanding of heaven, it's the final greatest thing, and we should be striving towards that, and we're not. And I think part of that is because of our wrong view of heaven, our unbiblical view of heaven. How many of you know a good joke about heaven? Anybody?
Oral Roberts.
Is it a good one? Yes. Anyway, let me tell you the joke I've got. I brought a joke about heaven here. A man died and went to the judgment, and they told him, "Before you meet with God, I should tell you, we've looked over your life, and to be honest, you really didn't do anything particularly good or bad. We're not really sure what to do with you. Can you tell us anything you did that can help us make the decision?" The newly arrived soul thought for a moment and replied, "Yeah, once I was driving along and came upon a person who was being harassed by a group of thugs. So I pulled over, got out a bat, and went up to the leader of the thugs. He was a big muscular guy with a ring pierced through his lip. Well, I tore out the ring in his lip and told him if he didn't leave that guy alone, he would have to deal with me." "Wow, that's impressive. When did this happen?" "About 3 minutes ago." A little joke, but what's wrong with it? What are the theological errors?
Everything.
You know, he appears as a disembodied soul. He is getting into heaven based on his works, and even our jokes are an unbiblical view of heaven. The cartoons, the jokes, we laugh. They're funny, but they're wrong. I think another reason why we don't know enough or we don't spend enough time thinking about heaven is a theological neglect of heaven. And quite a few volumes. People write volumes of theology, systematic theology. And the one set that I have is Lewis Sperry Schaeffer. And I went through and looked, and in his dealing with just the topic of the new heaven and new earth, he has very few pages. There's eight volumes, an eight-volume set, and just his dealing with that. There's very few pages, 2,200 pages in eight volumes, and he just has a few dedicated to the topic of the new heaven and new earth. A lot of other systematic theology books that I went to, and one of them, Martin Lloyd-Jones, 900 pages, The Great Doctrines of the Bible, and 2 pages are dedicated to the eternal state in heaven. And there's others. And so there's a theological lack of the topic of heaven. And I know one of the answers to that is, well, Jesus spent more time talking about hell than he did about heaven. And I haven't gone through and really studied that phrase out, exactly how much is spent on either side when Jesus is talking. But we still need to address the subject of heaven. And look, you know, that's where we will spend eternity. And it's something that I think we need to be excited about. And I want us to be excited about it for the purpose of evangelism, for the purpose for ourselves as well, but really for the purpose of evangelism. How can we get other people excited about heaven if we're really not excited about it ourselves? How do we get people excited about going to this place if the only thing they think heaven is sitting on a cloud playing the harp? Because the alternative, if we use both distorted views of heaven and hell, what would you rather do? Would you rather sit on a cloud kind of by yourself in boredom playing a harp, or go down and hang out and enjoy all of the immoralities that we have in the world today that are kind of just, in hell they're portrayed as something you can just do, you know, free, willy-nilly, and there's no consequences anymore. And, you know, I think in our humanity, people are going to want to choose the one that sounds like it's going to be a lot more fun. And we have a distorted view. Also, I think we don't spend enough time thinking about heaven because heaven is off our radar. And I asked Pastor Craig last night this question, so I'm safe to bring it up. But I asked him, how many sermons has he preached on the topic of heaven? And I think Pastor Craig has done more teaching on heaven than I ever did in my 7 years of preaching and teaching. I can't think of one time where I dedicated a sermon or a Bible study topic to the subject of heaven. Really, you know, dedicated to the subject of heaven. Talk about it, we bring it up, it comes, you know, we do prophecy and stuff like that, it comes into it. I brought it in a little bit. But it was kind of just this far-off, distant thought, and we'll get there one day. But we really didn't spend a lot of time talking about it. And I think Craig has done a better job in
I rethought that, and I can't recall a sermon dedicated to it.
But your Revelation series, you said you spent more time.
Sure.
And I don't think I even did in a Bible study. And so
until now.
Until now, and that's where I am going to redeem myself on that one, and we're gonna get through it. But I don't remember a class in Bible school dedicated to the subject of heaven. And a lot of times in our theology classes, we study a lot of theology. Never really got into the subject of heaven. We study tribulation. I can tell you the positions of pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib, and why. Those that believe it one way or another, I could tell you, even the side that I don't agree with, I can tell you why they think that. But up until starting to study heaven, there were things that I thought about heaven that I'm learning biblically were wrong. And it wasn't the angels or the people with wings and harps, but I had an idea of heaven and I was wrong. And I'm starting to learn that. And that is my own lack of study, but I can't think of a class that I took in Bible school either that really spent a lot of time discussing the subject of heaven. Again, it's brought up and it kind of is passed over. And if we're not taught it in Bible school, those that are then going into ministry and are the preachers and teachers, if they're not taught it, how do we expect them to teach it to the congregations? And if it's not taught, is the conception then that the Bible doesn't really talk about it that much? And it does. There's a lot about heaven, and I'm learning more and more of what the Bible has to say about heaven. And I think a lot of that comes down to there's a misconceptions about heaven because Satan wants us to be off course, and he doesn't want us to spend that much time thinking about it. And so if he starts telling us lies about it, then we'll get off course. Someone read for me John chapter 8, verse 44, and someone else Revelation 13, verse 6. You got 13, verse 6?
I'm getting it.
Okay, and then John chapter 8, verse 44.
John first?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, would you say Revelation 13, 6?
Yes. Nope. That was it. And then John has it.
8:44.
Yes.
You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies.
Satan is a liar and the father of lies, and he lies about God, and he lies about, or will, if he doesn't do it right now, he will lie about God's dwelling place. And And I think he does now, and that's part of these cartoons. Absolutely, is behind that he is lying to us and putting that out there. That again, if it's boring and it's subtle, these aren't just huge, big old bold lies that we can sit there and go, oh no, that's absolutely wrong. They're subtle. They're funny little jokes, funny little cartoons that come in here and there. And the more that we're bombarded with it, and the less we study about it. You know, what do we hear most about heaven? Is it biblical teaching, or is it cartoons and movies and jokes and that? And so that's part of my desire in doing this, is to correct the bombardment of the misconceptions that are out there about heaven. Do you have a thought, Tom?
I don't know if this is the right time, but when you mentioned evangelism, I really it's a wonderful, great tool. I mean, wonderful. Thank you for your focus on wanting to do that. But I'm wondering, since our role in heaven is going to have to be so significantly impacted by what we do on earth, as we stand before the Lord and our stuff isn't done right unto Him, and it's going to be burned,
mm-hmm.
We'll be in heaven, but we're going to be less, we're going to be missing. If we miss opportunities today to redeem the time, to yield to the Lord, to be conformed to Christ, to allow Him to change us, it'll impact our role in heaven. But more importantly, if we're talking to people about thinking about the benefits of heaven rather than thinking about the benefits of the new life in Christ today, we picked up some bananas down at Smith's on the way here this morning, and we saw a young man he's got to be in his little 20s, just destroying his mother. I mean, we sat there and watched just to make sure that he wasn't going to physically harm her. And it reminds me of me. And even though I never physically harmed anyone except my anger. And the thing is that to be able to have this new life in Christ today that is going to make it possible for me to love my wife and my children and be able to be an encourager and have a peace that we can't have without Christ, to me that is just such a compelling argument, if you will, a compelling reason why we evangelize and help people see that. And this is how, I'm sorry, but I just, it's most of our witnessing in at home in Utah is by sharing with people. As we watch circumstances happen in the neighborhood, we listen to their concerns in their hearts, what God has done, and not talking about how great we are, but just the fact that how faithful God is to take us right where we are and to change us and conform us to His image and give us that peace and that purpose and the power. I just would hope that we would incorporate heaven as today's life is going to impact heaven, and as we evangelize, it's going to be a product of the Holy Spirit living in us that will make the difference, that people will be interested in heaven because of who God is.
And our rewards in that we'll talk about, but it's... Our focus is going to be on learning about heaven, and it's not going to be as much about our life today. So the focus through the class is going to be what heaven is going to be like. And yes, we can't separate one from the other. I agree with you. And our evangelism is about how it impacts us today as well. But there's the heaven side of it as well, and the eternal side of it. And so we can't, if our misconception of, if our idea of heaven is wrong as well, then it's a package deal. But this, we're going to spend time talking about, I don't know if I'll get into this part of life as much as maybe you want, but...
I just am hoping just by having made a comment, if anybody sees the biblical truth in what I've said, and if I haven't said it, please straighten me out.
I don't disagree with you.
But I think that if we can approach the certainty of heaven and the fact that those of us who receive the gift of salvation through faith in Christ will be there. But there's so much
more. Dave, I was just thinking, as believers, I think it's great you're doing this.
can get you excited, get us excited as believers, so that we're better able to communicate what we believe in and better our testimony, because it's a process. When you first give your life to Christ, of course, you know, you have questions, you want to know, you're hungry, you're feeding on the Word daily, and hopefully you can do that. But the point is that there comes a point in a believer's walk where they want to know about heaven. Or you'll have people say, well, do you really believe that we go to heaven? And how do we get there? And then if we have that knowledge, mm-hmm. or that information, then we can share that.
And it is a whole, it's a whole process, and even witnessing isn't, I guess I hope that heaven as we witness isn't the only focus. And if I led that I apologize if that was my implication of that we only witness with the idea of heaven, because it's so much more. It really is a life changing, a right now life changing moment, and so it's bigger than I guess just through this though. The focus is going to be on what heaven is going to be like and that.
Yeah, I just think I think it's arm us with that simply because of how many misconceptions there are out there. Just like with any other doctrine, mm-hmm. whether it be the doctrine of who God is, the doctrine of who Jesus is, we need to be armed with the doctrine of what heaven is so that we can come back.
I would like to know, though, your rewards in heaven.
We'll talk about rewards in that, and look at 1 Corinthians, where it talks about, you know, our works, and I was in our timeline. I was going to kind of get to it a little bit today, when as we look at kind of from creation till the recreation or the new heaven and the new earth, and look at some of the judgments that fall in there. And one of the judgments is the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, and in 1 Corinthians, where it talks about our works being like wood, hay, straw, or gold, silver, or precious stones, and that our works will go through that fire. But it says that even though our works are being judged, we will be saved yet so as through fire. And so there's the work side of it as well. But that's the motive. When we think of our works as things done, and God sees our works with our motives behind it. And so we can do a lot of nice things. I can teach a Sunday school class, but what's my motive behind it? If I'm teaching it for self glorification, it's wood, hay, or straw, and it will be burned up. So hopefully through this that it's God will be glorified. And
I was just going to say, too, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the purpose of the reward, the crown, is to lay that down at his feet? It's not for our glory. It's to pray.
And we'll look at that, how, you know, after our rewards,
yes.
You know, the talking about the crowns and
yes.
And giving them back.
Give them back to
him. And so there's a whole other, that's a whole other topic too. So a lot of those things we may just briefly touch on, but hopefully we'll get in there. Hopefully we can clear up any unbiblical views and any misconceptions that we have about heaven. And that's a lot of what we want to accomplish here is as we study the doctrine of heaven, we're studying it from a biblical perspective, what the Bible says about heaven. And it's massive. It's such a huge topic. And again, I only covered half of what I originally thought. And I was hoping I was going to give you a timeline today. I was going to put a timeline up on the board of kind of how everything works. But we will do that next Sunday. So I can do that as well when we're done, make a copy, but we'll talk about it and all that. So anyway, we are out of time. Any questions, last thoughts before I close in prayer? All right, let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for just time that we can spend studying. Thank you that we can think about heaven, study heaven, and help us to study it biblically, that we use your word as the defining points to our answer, so that we aren't just making them up. We aren't coming up with answers that make us happy, but we are answering the questions based on what your word has to say. And just again, thank you for everyone's discussion and input, and we look forward to the time in your word through as we study heaven. You just guide and direct in our morning as Pastor Craig teaches and the music team leads us. Thank you for just the fellowship that we can enjoy with believers. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.